Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Revelle, and this is ValueSide for Monday, September 27. Today, Washington takes more. Then the latest corporate results, as well as today's economic news, coming right up. If it weren't for the last minute, I wouldn't get anything done. Well, that old joke seems to apply to Washington this week. In just 4 days, the government's fiscal year will end, and we will need a budget to proceed. In true form, Nancy Pelosi has informed her side of the aisle to be prepared for 3 critical votes this week. I believe that this is the beginning of a major change in Washington's role in the economy, as Washington will go from stimulus to restraint. This week, the House of Representatives will begin the process with their struggle to approve the 2022 budget. As part of that budget will come the higher taxes that Ms. Pelosi and the Democrats have promised. This will mark a major departure from the policy that the federal government has pursued since back in 2017. You'll remember that back then, at the end of 2017, Congress passed the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, specifically designed by the Trump administration to promote hiring and support businesses. This week, Congress will change all that. Now, the rationale for this latest move is to, quote, pay for all the stimulus. Of course, that's not possible. It's not possible to pay for all of the trillions of dollars that Congress shoveled out the door last year. But whatever the rationale, the reality will be that raising taxes, especially corporate taxes, will present a major headwind to the economy. The Biden-proposed tax increase will raise corporate rates from 21 to 28%, or a bump up of about a third. By any measure, this is one of the largest tax increases in history. And rather than a phased-in approach, this will hit all at once. And it's bound to have a major impact on American corporations. Now we move across town for our next 2 likely changes in the way Washington approaches the economy. The Federal Reserve is also busy changing their approach. First up is likely to be the Fed's reduction in their major stimulus program, quantitative easing. That's the monthly purchase of U.S. Treasury bonds and notes. Right now, the Fed purchases each and every month $120 billion worth of these securities. Now, the design of this approach is to provide liquidity to the financial system. And while that's true, this monthly purchasing program has shielded the economy from the impact of all that mounting U.S. debt. All these stimulus programs have come with a price. And that price is paid in the form of those bonds needed to provide the stimulus. Look at it like our national credit card. First, money is spent on the stimulus, then later the credit card payments come due in additional bonds. We must pay the interest and maturity on each of these bonds. Now, because these bonds are issued by the highest rated, safest of all issuers, the U.S. government, they absorb a great deal of the economy's investable funds in a process economists call crowding out. And this is the process of U.S. debt taking funds away from the productive part of our economy, those growing small businesses which provide most of the new hires in the country and from which much of our economic growth derives. Crowding out begins when these bond purchases end. And by all appearances, that's going to happen very shortly. Now last, but certainly not least, the Fed is also making rumbles about raising interest rates. Here, the rationale is higher rates are needed to fight inflation. As you know, I don't support the thinking that we're in a permanent high inflation period. We've just gone through one of the biggest rebounds in history, following the sharpest drop in history. Couple this with the higher prices directly caused by the supply chain woes, and I think it's way too early to declare this as a high inflation period. Nonetheless, I do believe that the Fed will indeed raise rates, at least 25 basis points, and certainly within the next 12 months. That's the overall thinking on the street also, incidentally. So there you have a trifecta of tighter monetary policy: higher taxes, less quantitative easing, those bond purchases, and higher interest rates. If you were to design a strategy to slow this economy, you couldn't do much better than this. And it all begins this week with the passage by Congress of the 2022 federal budget. In economic news today, in just a few minutes, we'll get the latest durable goods orders. This is an excellent measure of industry's outlook on the economy. More orders mean a willingness to expand by business into what they perceive as a growing economy. So it's one of the first and best looks at how corporate America sees the future. Also today, we'll get the first of two, what will ultimately be 12, Federal Reserve speeches just this week. And this is one of the keys that leads me to believe that the Fed is going to take an entirely new course in its monetary policy. Now, in earnings today, leading off will be tech company Concentric, then Aurora Cannabis, and IBIO Incorporated. They're a healthcare company. All three report later this afternoon. A look at the futures market with about an hour to go before markets open shows nearly all futures are down. Stocks, bonds, gold, and cryptos all down at the moment, although there's little conviction in this move yet. Oil seems to be the only one bucking the trend, with West Texas Intermediate up more than a percentage point. And that's the value side for Monday, September 27. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work.